Right, welcome back to Sports Central. I'll fully admit, as a Steelers fan, I did not have high hopes going into the playoffs for the Steelers. I thought they could beat the Browns, and that would be about it. If you had asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago, would they win any playoff games, I'd have said no. But then when it came to them playing the Browns, I figured that's the one team they would beat. And then we saw what we saw last night, and you blink, and it's 28-0 in the first quarter. Alan Saunders from SteelersNow.com joins us. He was at the game. They have great coverage, by the way, at SteelersNow.com if you check it out. Alan, this was not, to me, the Tim Tebow game with the Broncos. This is second, maybe, in terms of most baffling. Am I off base there? Is there anything more surprising than that Tebow game or this one?
You know, I haven't thought about it in that. I don't think anything can be more baffling than the first play of the game, the center snapping the ball 20 yards over the quarterback's head. The quarterback and the running back standing there looking at it while the other team recovers it for a touchdown. And then the rest of the first quarter is worse than that.
That
is the most baffling sequence of events, maybe. And I think that's what makes today so hard, right? It's because there's this anger, this angst, this want and need to feel like someone needs to be held responsible for, frankly, an embarrassing performance. But like when you look at what happened in the game that led to that, it was just a bunch of weird, dumb stuff that sort of, frankly, defies analysis.
If they play 10 times, do the Steelers win 9, and that's the way the Browns win in some goofy, crazy kind of game?
No, but I think that's the only way the Browns blow them out. I mean, I think the Browns could have won a close game, but I think they could play 100 times and not more than one or two does it go that way.
Right, right.
Where the Browns take a 28-0 lead, they've been playing the Browns for twice a year since, whatever, 1950-something, and I don't think they've ever done that once. So, you know, it's hard. And you know, you can take a look at a lot of – I mean, the offense did some good things except for turning the ball over 5 times. The defense, outside of those 5 turnovers, was kind of okay. I don't know. It was just such a poorly played first quarter from the team that almost nothing else after that you can really say really mattered that much. The game was over 9 minutes in.
Yeah, 28-0 after the first quarter. Do you just chalk it up to, again, we're talking early in the game. Do you just chalk it up to flukiness, a batted pass? I mean, everything that could go wrong did go wrong in the first quarter. Is it more fluke than failure?
I mean, I think it can be both, right? I mean, you make your luck. I think Ben Roethlisberger has struggled all season with tip balls at the line, and it didn't feel like they ever made an adjustment to that problem. That's something that's been an issue all year. The receivers have had drops, and one of those interceptions goes off the hands of Deontay Johnson. It would have been a tough catch, but as a receiver, going over the middle, the last thing in the world you want to have happen is the ball to hit your hands and then go up into the middle of the field. That's a guaranteed interception when that happens. And that the receivers have been dropping passes all year, and they never seemed to make any improvement in that regard. And to be frank, I mean, listen, I've never seen him do that, but Marquise Pouncey has been questionable with his snaps for a couple of years now, and it doesn't seem like he's made any strides in that regard. And so, yeah, you can say all those things are flukes, but they're also emblematic of problems that have been there for a while and just did not conspire to kill the Steelers in a game the way they all came together last week.
Yeah, sure. And look, when you give up 48 points, man, and 28 in the first quarter, we got a laundry list of things we can point to. Alan mentioned, you know, game was really over in the first quarter. But there they were, 35-23 on the 4th-and-1 play at the 46 at the start of the fourth quarter. Now, I will say this. I think even if they get it and even if they score a touchdown that drive, I still think there's a tremendously high chance that they lose anyway. Even if they get it to 35-30 with 12 minutes ago, 11 minutes ago, I still think they lose. I think Cleveland's offense still would have had another drive or so in it, and they would, I still think that could have happened. But Alan, I said this earlier, and just so you know this about me, I'm a believer that you go for it on fourth and short beyond your 40 every time, regardless, no matter the situation. If it's the first quarter, the first game, the Freakonomics, the analytics will tell you that your percentages, and you know, with the way the game will play out, fourth and one at your 40 or plus in a 0-0 game, in a 40-0 game, you've got a better chance to impact the game by going for it. So not only did they not adhere to what I think should happen 100% of the time anyway, he didn't do it down 12 points with a quarter to go in a playoff game. What the holy hell? What? I almost said the F word. I almost did. What is he doing?
Yeah, and you know what? It's this strange, you know, I don't know. The Steelers have a good defense. If you want to just be conservative and rely on your defense, and that's going to kind of be your team's blueprint and your MO, I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it, but I could maybe understand it. You know, they're going to do what they think they're best at. They have not been a very good short yardage team for 2 years in a row now. They don't get a very good push in the running game. For whatever reason, they hate to line up under center, which I feel like is imperative in doing a good job in those and-one situations. But two drives earlier, they went for it on fourth down in the goal line when they easily could have kicked the field goal to cut a possession from the game.
It was just to be clear, it was a 19-point game. It was a 19-point game, and quite frankly, the math probably would have told you there to kick the field goal, to get it to 16, which still keeps it a two-possession game. So, go ahead.
So they were extra aggressive there, and then extra passive on the – and it just doesn't – to me, that's a – it doesn't make any sense. Two-point conversions didn't make any sense, too. They had the same exact scenario. They get down 13 twice, and once they went to kick the extra point, the second time they went for two. There's different – you can have a different thought, and you can justify a lot of different decisions. But when you're – what you're doing just plainly doesn't make sense, it does not exude an air of confidence in that decision-making process.
You've been a journalist. Alan Saunders from Steelers Now. You've been a journalist a long time. I've been a journalist a long time. I try to view everything in the world from both sides. Whatever happens, I try to look at it from one perspective, and then I try to look at it from other people's perspective to see how they might view things. And especially in sports, our perspectives get warped because we tend to put on our sports fan glasses and we view everything through that perspective. I truly do try not to do that. I try, and I'm a Steelers fan, I try to look at things, you know, what would other teams do? What would other coaches do? This and that. And I fully get, Alan, that the rest of the NFL, almost every team save a few in the NFL, would love to have Mike Tomlin as their coach. And Mike Tomlin's a great coach. And Mike Tomlin's going to the Hall of Fame. Mike Tomlin has done some sensational things for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He drives me nuts in the games with his decision-making. And the rest of the country, when they view Mike Tomlin, they think Steelers fans are idiots because they think, all you Steelers fans do is bitch about Mike Tomlin all the time. We'd love to have him. Well, Steelers fans see him make the same mistake 9 times, 47 times, 96 times, and we think, how does this great coach not learn from these mistakes? That's what I think. You're around the guy. You're covering him. You're covering the team. You're watching this very, very closely. Can you talk me off the ledge of thinking that Mike Tomlin is a bad game coach?
I don't think so. I don't think he's a good game coach, I'll tell you that much. He's just not very good at it. He never has been. I think, honestly, he's better than he used to be in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to things like the usage of timeouts. That used to be something that they really struggled with, but I think they have improved that. And I'll be honest, they're a good enough team that, you know, when they had a better offense, when they had Le'Veon Bell and they had Antonio Brown and they had really one of the best offenses in the league, I think they got it with the 2-point conversions too. They went for it more than anybody else in the league, and I think now there's a lack of confidence in the offense's ability to get 2 yards that has kind of interrupted what he knows is the right decision making there sometimes. But to me, it's just You know, like I said, I think you can justify a lot of positions. I think you can make an argument for a lot of things that at the end of the day, most people will go, okay, well, maybe I don't agree with that, but that makes sense. But when what you're doing is just hodgepodge, it's the same decision. It's like you're flipping a coin. You go one way the next, and then the other way the next. And it's really hard. I think it's really hard to justify that. It just feels like he doesn't know what he's doing when it comes to some of those situations. And that's really hard to say about a Hall of Fame coach. And I agree with you that he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not very good at that part of his job.
Check out Alan and every great coverage at SteelersNow.com. I want to ask you about the future. We'll start with Ben. Is Ben back next year? There's a lot at stake financially, cap-wise. He'll be 39. What's your gut tell you right now, the day after the season?
I'll tell you, I looked what I saw on the field last night and what I heard from Ben Roethlisberger last night sounded like a guy that is deeply contemplating retiring. Obviously that's a process that's going to play out. He's going to talk with his family and his agent and the team. It certainly seems like that's on the table. The other thing he said in his press conference last night is, hey, you know, this isn't all on me. The Steelers have to want me back. And I think that's another part of it. I mean, they've got $22 million sunk into him next year, regardless of whether he plays or not. That happens no matter what. But there's another $19 for him to play the season. I have a hard time looking at the quarterback that just threw four interceptions in your playoff game and thinking that's a $19 million player. I don't know. Maybe they can work out some kind of extension to lower the cap hit or a pay cut or something like that. But to me, I think him playing out his contract as is, pretty unfeasible for the rest of the team, because in order to bring back Ben Roethlisberger at a $41 million cap hit, that means they're going to have to cut so many guys to get him to the cap. What would he be coming back for? What good is Ben Roethlisberger doing himself on a team that might have to cut Pouncey, DeCastro, Vince Williams, Hayden, McDonald, maybe Cam Hayward? Like, if they had to cut all those guys just to keep him, why would he want to be here? That just doesn't make any sense to me. And so, I don't know. I think there's a good possibility that we've seen Ben Roethlisberger's last pass with the Steelers, that it could still work out that he comes back. But I think the combination of whatever the percentage of that he might want to hang it up, plus whatever the percentage of them saying, look, this just isn't going to work for us, adds up to a good bit.
How about with Juju? Where does he stand contractually within the scope of all of this stuff?
I don't see any chance that Juju Smith-Schuster returns to the Steelers. They don't have the cap space to give him anywhere near the kind of contract that he will earn on the open market. I do think he would legitimately like to return. I think he really enjoys playing in Pittsburgh. I think he's really enjoyed playing under Mike Tomlin. But, I mean, what the Steelers have and what somebody else is going to be able to give him is going to be a generational family difference amount of money. You know, you're talking tens of millions of dollars. I just can't see him leaving that kind of money on the table to stay with the Steelers. I think he will go elsewhere.
What's the time frame? When would you expect Ben to make this decision? How long does he have before it really gets sticky?
Well, he's got a roster bonus due the third league day, which is, we don't have a calendar yet, but generally the first week of March. So it is not all that much time.
All right. And last thing, Mason Rudolph, is he the quarterback of the future for the Steelers, or do we know that yet?
I don't know. I don't think he's done anything to lay stake to that claim, but if it's not going to be Ben Roethlisberger for next year, I think he's got as good a shot as anybody else to at least get the opportunity to show what he can do next season. I don't know that, The point of not keeping Ben Roethlisberger, to me, from the Steelers' standpoint, would be so that they could keep that defense together, right, and really kind of build a team around that defense. And so, they're going to spend that money that they would save on keeping those defensive players, locking up T.J. Watt to a long-term extension, maybe trying to sign one of those slot corners, Mike Hilton and Cam Sutton, that are free agents, or Tyson Alulu, who's going to be a free agent. And if you do all that, there's not really any room to go get, a difference maker kind of quarterback. It's not like they're going to go get Deshaun Watson for that money, like that's going to be left. It's just not realistic. It's either going to be Rudolph, or it's going to be another journeyman type that might get an opportunity to show what they have next year here in Pittsburgh if it's not Ben Roethlisberger.
Alan, appreciate the time. Great insight, man. SteelersNow.com. Check out Alan Saunders. Great coverage there. Really appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, great stuff there.